This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong, in the coolness of Sydney.
Hi, Warren. I've got a topic of discussion.
Okay, and what is it?
It is envy. What is your experience with the emotion of envy?
Envy, that's a really interesting one. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm trying to think. Envy, I find, envy. I found people can be envious and they can sacrifice friendships because of envy. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. It becomes so powerful that they're willing to say, you know what, I don't care about the friendship. I'm so envious. I want to bring you down.
Whoa, that is so dramatic.
Isn't that dramatic?
Much more than I bargained for?
That's what came to mind is, you know, that tall
poppy syndrome. So that's something that's happened to you, like?
Not necessarily. It's something that I've observed. I mean, yeah, something I've observed in people is people can get envious and then it's almost like rather than using that observation of someone's, I don't know what it is, maybe they're successful, maybe they're, I don't know, whatever the attribute is that they're envious about, is rather than thinking, you know what, well, maybe I can be inspired by that and do something intrinsically myself. What I've observed is people go, right, now my mission is to chop that person down rather than harness their whatever it is, their positive thing, and build on myself. That's my observation with it.
It's interesting that you brought in the tall poppy syndrome. I think it seems like we don't talk about that very much in recent years.
We don't, do we?
It feels like an old Australian identity thing. I don't know if we are becoming better or we just don't acknowledge it as much.
Someone said to me once, there's enough pie for everyone.
We really need to think that way. I think that's a much healthier way to think of things, because I think, especially for women, a lot of our lives are focused on competition and scarcity. Oh. And, you know, yeah, we always think that, we're always made to think that there can only be one woman in the room that's good at this thing. And there can only be one woman who's prettiest or whatever. And that is so kind of ingrained in how we identify as women, and that's super unhealthy.
Have you experienced a lot of envy? Either received on the receiving end or yourself?
Well, I do feel like I do get people misunderstanding me. I feel like I like to present myself as being quite glamorous. You know, I like to walk out with a lot of confidence, you know, because as a person with some disadvantages, you know, being a person of color, being a migrant, being a trans person, it kind of takes a bit of gumption to leave your home. And sometimes I do understand that I might come across a bit too much. And because, you know, you do feel like you need to overcompensate a bit. And it's, you know, that's how I deal with the world. I come out presenting as being very confident. So I don't put myself in any danger, because you know that when people sense your confidence, they don't come for you. Right. But I think that often gets misconstrued, often by women. They think that it is like an arrogance or something. So I feel like I don't know if it's arrogance is the arrogance that they feel negatively about, or is it some kind of envy that is present? Personally, though, I think I probably experience envy a lot more as a younger person, because I would always imagine that this person has it all, that person has it all, you know, and that these people who have these qualities, people who look extremely attractive, people who have a lot of money, I used to imagine that they would have virtually no problems. You know, I thought that the problems were tiny. But I think with age, you kind of learn that that's not really how things work.
So based on that, Susie, being a, you know, that confidence being a bit of a defensive thing for you, do you think, therefore, rather when we see someone who perhaps is portraying that confidence, rather than thinking, you know, why are they like that, we should perhaps have a little bit more, I don't know, understanding or empathy and think, well, maybe there's a story behind that that we don't know
about.
Yeah,
I think when we see people who are a bit arrogant, you need to understand, you know, it tends to come. I don't know if it can come from any other place. Mm. I think it comes from a place of self-protection. But it all, we cannot kind of forgive that too much, because confidence can come with love, generosity, you know, and people who don't have the capacity for generosity are not good people in my books.
Susie, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you've got to say about The Beauty, because I watched it a few episodes last night and I said to myself, I can't wait to hear what Susie Rong has to say about it. Give us your review of The Beauty.
It is Paris Fashion Week, and a supermodel goes berserk at the Balenciaga show, attacking and killing several audience members before escaping on a motorcycle heading into town to further quench her bloodlust. When the police finally get her cornered, her entire body explodes into smithereens. And this commences the mystery of Ryan Murphy's new television program, The Beauty, now streaming on Disney+. It is science fiction, obviously, based on a series of graphic novels telling the story of a sexually transmitted virus that makes any infected person incredibly attractive, but along with it comes terrifying consequences. Big Pharma is involved. Actor Ashton Kutcher plays Byron Frost, a tech billionaire we discover to be in the process of developing a revolutionary beauty treatment, except the substance has leaked out prematurely and is circulating in the populace with very serious side effects. The only thing he knows to do to stop the virus being traced back to him and to keep profits for himself is by sending out hitmen to assassinate all the ones who have been infected. With this character, Byron Frost, richest man in the world, at its center, The Beauty feels very much a contemporary parable about greed and capitalism, and in close association, vanity and narcissism. These are all very pertinent subjects that relate closely to the biggest ills faced by our troubled world today. The first three episodes dropped last week, and as is expected of Ryan Murphy's recent productions, The Beauty is visually lavish, extravagant in all ways possible. It is a highly seductive and intriguing start to the narrative. I found myself thoroughly engaged and curious about what is to come over the coming weeks. Also typical of Ryan Murphy's work is that the philosophical and intellectual aspects of the story are not really fleshed out, not yet anyway. I'm hoping for more substantive discussions to unfold, but let's not hold our breath. I'd be satisfied as long as the surprises keep coming and all the glamour keeps escalating. Warren, I'm sure you have so many thoughts about this moment.
Susie, was I surprised? And did I have to eat my words? Because when I started playing it and I saw someone on the catwalk, I thought, oh no, it's all about modelling and I'm not really interested, to be honest. And I had that, you know, that attitude, that frame of mind, and then I was glued. I loved it. I loved it so much. I can't wait to see more of it. It's one of the best series, I reckon, well, hopefully this year, The Beauty. I think it's fantastic. It was unexpected. I didn't expect things to happen that did happen. I don't want to spoil them. There's a lot of themes in it that are just amazing to think about. Things like, you know, your body being social currency. I hadn't thought of that. I mean, I kept thinking about how much we do, you know, we quietly attach value to our own bodies in terms of ourselves and how we value ourselves, you know, thinner, younger, whatever the thing is, all that pressure that we have, more muscle. But that new concept, beauty as power, I hadn't thought of that before. And it does discuss that quite a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, the show, I think, appeals to a lot of our kind of base desires, you know, that we want to be loved, we want to be seen as attractive, we want to be considered like the top of the heap, I guess. And you're right about attractiveness being a social currency. I think that's a very big part of how we live, really, really central part of how we live. And I think we don't, maybe because we don't discuss that so much, we kind of talk about people's attractiveness as like a by the by, you know, like we kind of all agree that, oh, there's some people who are more attractive than others, and that's about it. But really, it goes quite deeply into how we interact as people and the kind of access, you know, access is a big word, the kind of access that people might have just based on something as simple as their height, for example.
You know, when you think about it, I mean, I was a bit of an overweight teen and was teased because of that. But it's interesting because, and I suppose, you know, Susie, you, you know, being trans probably had issues as well with how you felt that you looked. You can tell us about that. But when I think about it, it really leans into the idea that something is always wrong with us, no matter what, isn't it? And I've noticed because of my experience as a teenager and at primary school and high school, and then, you know, getting fitter later on in life, and then the pressures that gay men have as well. I mean, we've spoken about that before. I notice now, you know, I'm constantly checking how much weight I have on me, and then I think, I don't have to care. It doesn't matter anymore, but it's hard to undo that. Over time, it's really hard to.
It is really hard to undo. You know, I think intellectually, I'm very well versed with this sort of thing. Mm. I studied these concepts of inadequacy, kind of emotional and sentimental inadequacies in relation to market forces, in relation to capitalism. I understood that since I was in my early 20s, but that doesn't mean that you can, you know, your own kind of feelings about yourself, your own temperaments in relation to the world can alter because of that. I think it can help. It helps me a lot, but certainly the impulses are always there that, you know, these market forces are so strong that, you know, I think sometimes I feel like entirely everything that's out in the market for sale, that's trying to make money from you, is out there to make you feel inadequate, because that's when you go out and spend your money. So I feel like these forces are so intense, so strong. It's impossible to be powerful or powerful enough to dominate over those forces.
We're chatting with Susie Rong about the new series, The Beauty. I loved it, Susie. I've got a question for you, another question for you. The show toys with the idea of becoming new. I mean, you know, completely new in every single way. Did you ever have that fantasy of wishing that you could become new?
Well, I think when I was young, I would always imagine that I would be this celebrity or I would be that celebrity. And, you know, sometimes people would ask you silly questions like, oh, if you could swap places with someone, you know, I would have names, you know, completely ready. I'll be completely happy to be swapping places with this person or that person who is very famous. But, you know, as you grow older, or for me anyway, like I know that everyone's got their own cross to bear. On the surface, people can look complete and extremely at peace with themselves or happy, but you understand that everyone's just got their own stuff in there. I wouldn't want to swap places with anyone even for half a day. I think I have reached a point in life where I am comfortable with myself, including my own shortcomings, because I feel like, you know, when you become someone else, you've got to take over that person's shortcomings as well. And I don't think I have any skills for other people's shortcomings. So much as I would like to live in a glorious mansion, much as I would like to have skin tight as a drum, I would never even toy with the idea of ever swapping place with somebody else. And you know, it's a blessing to be able to get to a point in life where you feel a certain, you experience a certain level of self-esteem to be able to feel like, you know what, I'm good.
You know, you don't need the whole season to feel the impact of it. I watched three episodes and it grabbed me so quickly. What do you reckon it is about the show, Susie, that grabs you so quickly?
Well, it talks about all the things that we want, right? The fantasies, the fantasy lives that we want, to be the most attractive person in the world, that everybody wants to sleep with you, and then because of that, all the doors open, you can go to any place, you can make any amount of money that you want, nobody will say no to you. It's just such the most intense, greatest fantasy that everybody would want, and also it's packaged in such a glossy way. It talks about the dangers of kind of narcissism and vanity, but it is itself so glossy and so irresistible, and that's, you know, that's always my kind of criticism of Ryan Murphy's work. You know, it always it's always packaged in such a super hyper glamorous way, but often, not always, often it leaves you empty after a few weeks. So we'll see what happens with this one. A
couple of messages. Alex in Thornbury says, this is why I stopped Instagram for a year. The constant comparison messes with your head.
Yeah, envy is completely about comparison, isn't it? And I think it's obviously not healthy, but I'm still on Instagram. There's still things that I enjoy about it, but certainly it's not for everybody. And for those who are able to leave it because they know that it's harmful to them, more power to you. It's great.
Jess says, I love being queer, but our community can be brutal about looks.
We
can be horrible to each other. This one, Robin Elwood, aging feels like becoming invisible overnight. I reckon we're not good at treating the older people of our community.
I think in any community, old people do become invisible.
They got the best stories.
Yeah, that's true. We really need to learn how to connect better with older people. I find it. I think based on where I am, I'm literally middle aged. I feel like I still have a connection with younger people of my community. Maybe one day they will deem me too old and cast me aside.
No.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Never, Susie. We love your wisdom. What are we watching next week?
What It Feels Like for a Girl comes to SBS. It's Y2K and Byron is transitioning genders, and as she flirts with discovery and destruction, love and anarchy. A very highly acclaimed series from BBC finally arrives in Australia. Check out What It Feels Like for a Girl on SBS for when I see you next Tuesday.
And if that conversation raised any issues, you can see a list of support services at joy.org.au/support.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.